This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Don't miss the new docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History. From memes to movements, see how this powerful online community shapes culture and society. Black Twitter, A People's History, premieres May 9th, streaming on Hulu.
How do you picture God?
In my mind, you know, he was like an older Arab gentleman with like a strong jaw and like a beard.
Aisha Chaudhry is a gender and Islamic studies professor at the University of British Columbia. And for the longest time, this is how she pictured Allah, as a man. In Islam, Allah is neither male nor female. God is beyond gender.
I mean, if we're every time we speak about God, we're misgendering God, then why not she?
So Chaudhry started using different pronouns whenever she talked about Allah, including with students.
I do remember like a particular class where, you know, I just refer to God as she. And I just remember this male student, he had a physical reaction to me doing that. And I was a little bit like surprised by that. But I was also curious about that. I sort of realized, oh, this moment of discomfort is like a learning moment for all of us. Like it's a learning moment for this person. You know, I always say that to my students, like when you have a reaction, an emotional reaction, a physical reaction to something you're learning, it's important to pay attention to that and go deeper into that.
Using feminine pronouns for God has given Chaudhry a different perspective.
Using these different genders for God, I think, helps me personally come up against the limitations of my imagination of God. And it helps maintain the mystery around God and help me understand that I can't encompass all of God and that actually God is always beyond me.
It struck me as blasphemous. It struck me as outrageous. It struck me as disrespectful and uncomfortable.
That's Sophia Rahman. She's also a gender and Islamic studies scholar. When she first heard someone refer to Allah as she, Rahman was taken aback. So she sat with her discomfort for a bit, tracing where it could be coming from.
Our first reactions to things, whatever they may be, whether we're talking about the pronouns with which we refer to Allah or anything else, really, the first reaction is our socialized reaction.
Rahman says it can be a problem when God is only ever depicted as male.
Society is organized on patriarchal lines quite often, and so there is this undercurrent to so much of, you know, gendered issues that imply a superiority of the male over the female.
After some self-reflection, she now almost exclusively uses gender-neutral pronouns whenever she's talking about Allah.
For me, Allah is just this perfect blend of everything that is on a plane that is much higher and transcends these gender binaries. I don't need to think of Allah as a loving mother or a protecting father.
Consider this. There's a quiet revolution happening. More Islamic scholars are using female or gender-neutral pronouns to refer to the divine, which raises questions about how Islam understands women, gender, and God. From NPR, I'm Ari Shapiro. It's Tuesday, June 6th.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BritBox, helping people discover a world of British TV, including new original drama Time, starring Jodie Whittaker, Tamara Lawrence, and Bella Ramsey. Streaming at BritBox.com/NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu with Black Twitter, A People's History from Onyx Collective and Hulu. Directed by Prentice Penny, Black Twitter, A People's History tells the story of how Black voices found a new home online and blossomed into a force for change while laying down some hilarious tweets along the way. From the memes to the movements, see how this powerful community shapes culture, society, and politics. Black Twitter, A People's History premieres May 9th, streaming on Hulu.
It's Consider This from NPR. To understand this move towards feminine or gender-neutral pronouns for Allah, I spoke to Hafsa Lodi. She wrote about this movement in the religion magazine, The Revealer.
I guess what's revolutionary about it is just hearing the female pronouns or the feminine pronouns, she and her, when referring to Allah, God, who has traditionally in Islamic thought and in Islamic scholarship always been referred to as he in the masculine pronoun in English. So to hear Allah being referred to as she at a time when Islamic feminism is gaining so much traction, it's really revolutionary.
So God has traditionally been referred to using masculine pronouns, but in Islam, although I know it's a vast and diverse religion, is Allah generally understood to have a gender?
No, definitely not. I mean, the Quran, the holy text of Islam, implies time and again that Allah has no gender. Allah is beyond gender. Allah is no man, no woman. Allah has no spouse or children. But the Quran was revealed in Arabic, and linguistically, Allah is referred to as he, which is the masculine pronoun huwa in Arabic, throughout the Quran.
And so, Hafsa Lodi, what other reasons did people give you for this exploration?
Yeah, so many. I mean, one of my friends, actually, after the article was published, she pointed out something that I hadn't even thought about before, was that, you know, for some females, the pronoun he might be triggering if they've had negative experiences with abuse, with males in positions of authority. And so for them, she might be a better way for them to connect better with the creator, with the divine. And I found that kind of beautiful in a way.
One expert told you people still get into a tizzy about this. So
yes.
Tell us about the tizzy. What's the pushback?
So yeah, there's a lot of pushback. You'd think it would be mainly from men, but it's from women as well. The pushback is that the Quran is perceived to be an immutable text in Islam. You know, it's never been changed, and we can't change it. In the Quran, Allah is referred to as he, huwa, the Arabic pronoun for he. So we cannot go in and change that. Allah never self-identified using an English pronoun, so there's no wiggle room to call Allah she. That's what the pushback would say.
I could imagine 100 arguments in response to that, but is it really about authenticity and devotion to the original text, or do you think it's about something more?
Yeah, definitely. I think Muslim cultures particularly take patriarchal forms historically. And so those in power don't want to see these gender hierarchies changed. They don't want to see them rocked in any way. And calling God she is like a big linguistic shift. Also, we are in a time when there's a lot of anxieties regarding pronouns in general. So just the small matter of a pronoun shift, which in itself shouldn't be so controversial, there are all these kind of wider arguments and conversations going around that kind of are influencing the pushback to this.
Has writing about it changed your ideas about God's gender and how it is talked about in Islam?
A few months ago, before I even started working on this story, I was stuck in traffic at a traffic light with my daughter. My four-year-old daughter was in the back. This is right after picking her up from school. She really had to go use the restroom. And she's saying, "No, Mom, hurry up, hurry up. I really need to go. I really need to go." And so, exasperated, I said, "Okay, pray to Allah that he turns the traffic light green really quickly." And so she like whispers something under her breath and says, "Okay, I did my prayer. I pray that she changes the traffic light to green." And so instinctively, I said, "he," you know, like I kind of barked it. And it was so interesting because I caught myself and I thought, no, it's so good. My daughter is, you know, like praying to God to turn, yeah, something as minute as turning a traffic light green. But, you know, she's connecting and she kind of envisions God with this she or female form. She's 4 years old. There's no harm in this. Why am I being that kind of upholder of the patriarchy and correcting her to he? And it really made me rethink how I teach religion to my children and how I kind of carry over these values that were kind of instilled in all of us in previous generations of Muslims. At the same time, I feel like my perspective has been broadened, knowing that there are scholars who argue the permissibility of using the feminine pronoun, knowing that, you know, everything's not black and white. Changing the pronoun that you refer to your creator by, it really doesn't change your belief system. It doesn't change your religiosity in any sense. It's just helping you connect with your creator in a deeper way. And I think that's really profound.
That was Hafsa Lodi. Her piece for The Revealer is called "The Muslim Women Using Feminine Pronouns for Allah." At the top of this episode, you heard reporting from NPR's Lena Mohammed. It's Consider This from NPR. I'm Ari Shapiro.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Sattva. Sattva luxury mattresses are every bit as elegant as the most expensive brands, but because they're sold online, they're about half the price. Visit SAATVA.com/NPR and save an additional $200.
On Wildcard, the new podcast from NPR, you'll hear people like comedian Jenny Slate reflect on their lives. What is something you think about very differently today than you did 10 years ago?
Dressing, like not salad dressing. I've always loved it and I'll never stop. Dressing my body.
That's all part of the new game show Wildcard, only from NPR. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, close your eyes for a second. Now imagine you're on your dream vacation. No work calls to answer, no text messages to respond to, just your suitcase and an opportunity.
The opportunity to just take yourself out of your routine and travel deeper.
How to actually take that dream trip. That's on the Life Kit podcast from NPR.